Just a little bit of history. Before I begin my talk, I first met Art back in 1994 when he was the external examiner for my PhD thesis at Guelph. And the year following that defense, we actually published a couple of papers together, and I've always been grateful for that because it really gave me a jump start on my career. And this afternoon I want to talk about one of those papers and look at it a little closer and do an application, discuss an application of that analytical solution for drainage in this case. So there's the paper. As I mentioned, it was published in 1995. And what I wanted to talk about today is the simplified form for one-dimensional drainage and using it to estimate the soil hydraulic parameters. The solutions from that paper, you can use them to estimate the soil water content right at the soil surface, so at z equals zero if you like, or you could also estimate pressure head as a function of time during drainage beginning with a very wet soil condition. And of course, solutions such as this one in terms of looking at surface soil water content or pressure head, really, really important in terms of estimating surface soil surface hydraulic properties, as they control for the most part things like infiltration rate, the degree of runoff, evaporation. And I've also been sitting through some other seminars this morning on remote sensing, so in terms of estimating water content using remote sensing techniques, it might be another practical use for these solutions. So a couple of objectives this afternoon. I want to invert the analytical solution, at least analytically, to estimate soil hydraulic properties, again, right at z equals zero, using reduced water content as a function of time, or if you like, you could also use pressure head measurements done at the soil surface as a function of time, again beginning with a wet soil and looking at how things change during drainage. And secondly, I want to quickly examine the effect of using a different soil hydraulic function other than the hydraulic functions used to derive the analytical solution in the first place. So the analytical solution for drainage beginning with a very wet soil for the soil surface was actually published, as I mentioned, in 1995, and capital theta there is the normalized water content. So for ranging from zero for residual water content and one for saturation. Capital C, it's good timing. Dr. Broadbridge spoke quite a bit about the capital C parameter in his talk before the break. C ranges from a value of 1 to infinity, and more practically from about 1 to 10. As C approaches 1, you end up with a green enamped or a delta function soil, and as C approaches infinity, it's representing a constant diffusivity or a linear soil. So the complete solution is of course also a function of various things, as you can see at the bottom of the slide. A is a function of C and the water content initially, capital theta subscript zero, which as I mentioned usually is considered as saturation, or capital theta equal to one. Tau is dimensionless time, and it's a function of saturated hydraulic conductivity, Ks, and also the macroscopic capillary length scale, lambda, subscript s, and of course t for time itself. Now, the complete solution looks relatively harmless, but in fact that product between the exponential and the complementary error function is relatively unstable, especially for values of a squared tau greater than about 3.5. And I'll give you a little example of that. I typed that complete solution into MathCAD and put in appropriate values of C and so on and so forth, and of course pressed the button to calculate. And what I was expecting to see, of course, when I graphed capital theta, reduced water content versus time, from for drainage from an initially saturated soil was, of course, I was expecting to see capital theta equaling 1, and then, you know, decreasing very nicely. Well, what I got was the correct answer at time equals 0, and then suddenly at about 100 seconds or so, it started, water content actually started to increase, and it plateaued at a value slightly greater than 1. So I knew either I had typed it in incorrectly, or something was wrong with the way MathCAD was calculating that product. And after checking, going back to the original paper, I discovered that that MathCAD is having an issue calculating that product. So to get around that, you can actually expand that product using an infinite power series. And I've truncated the, actually in our paper in 1995, we presented that approach. And here I've truncated the series into at least two terms containing tau, and it gives you a much more robust and a very obviously a simpler algebraic form to work with, again in terms of estimating water content as a function of time for the soil surface during drainage from saturation. So I'm referring to that second simpler solution as the two terms solution because it contains two terms that have tau in it. So in terms of parameter estimation, I want to compare fitting the complete and two-term solutions to lab measurements of reduced water content measured at the soil surface as a function of time during drainage to obtain estimates of C and the macroscopic capillary length scale. I also measured KS separately on the same material using a constant head method. So a lab experiment, I wanted also to measure pressure head at the soil surface as a function of time. So I designed a little disc tensiometer, not a disc tension infiltrometer, but a disc tensiometer, and also installed a TDR probe near the soil surface to measure soil water pressure head and water content at or near the soil surface during drainage from saturation. And then to check the solution, I also measured water content versus pressure head under static conditions using exactly the same experimental setup so that I could verify, have something to verify the estimated parameters. So here we have a photograph from the laboratory, and you can see the column filled with sand, and I just connected a tube to the bottom of the column so that I could get water to drain from the column by lowering the tube connected to a horizontal tube here. There's the little disc tensiometer and the ends of the TDR probe. The TDR probe was inserted just below the soil surface, so it's measuring the water content over about 1.5 centimeters or so right at the soil surface itself. Here's a close-up of the little disc tensiometer that we designed for the purposes of the experiment. So here we go, right into the results. I'm comparing the complete solution in red and also the two-term solution. Now in this case we've got normalized water content versus time in seconds, and the various colored dots represent three different trials. So the same experimental setup, but I just repeated the experiment three different times. In this particular graph, I've fit the complete solution to the data and come up with lambda S values, lambda S of 0.55 meters and C just a little bit over 1, as you can see. Now the blue line is the two-term solution, not fit to the data in this case, but using lambda S and C, the same lambda S and C values that you can see on the screen. So next, I fit the two-term solution to the same set of data, and as you can see, you get the same lambda S value, which is sort of reassuring, but you get a slightly lower value of C. And you can see here that C, it's quite sensitive. The solution is quite sensitive to the value of C. Now, as I mentioned previously, I wanted to check my estimated parameters against measured water content versus pressure head data. So here again we have normalized water content versus pressure head, again measured using the same experimental setup using the TDR and the surface tensiometer devices. So using the best fit values from the complete and two-term solution, and also the dashed green line is the best fit to the data itself. Using the water content versus pressure head equation developed by Dr. Broadbridge and Dr. White back in the late 80s, you can see that the complete solution seems to fit the data a little bit better than the two terms solution. But when you extrapolate, which I know is a little risky, when you extrapolate over the entire range of the normalized water content versus pressure head relationship, you can see that there really is very little difference between the complete solution, which is more difficult to work with, than the two-term solution. And again, as I mentioned earlier, I used the surface tensiometer to measure pressure head as a function of time during the same experiment. And I wanted to have a look at estimates of pressure head versus time by the complete and the two terms solution, again bringing in the relationship between water content and pressure head so that I could actually plot pressure head versus time. And as you can see, the two term solution seems to fit the data much better than the complete solution. And you'll notice that at early time, we've got both solutions, in particular this set of data points here, again from three different trials, the lab experiment, you can see that we're underestimating things here. And I sort of wonder if that data point is actually reflecting the idea that it's taking a little bit of time for the tensiometer to react. So that could have something to do with the tensiometer response time, which of course is a finite amount of time. The second objective was to have a look at, instead of using the Broadbridge and White soil hydraulic functions, how about using the Van Genuchten hydraulic functions to model water content at soil surface versus time under drainage. So to do that, I used Hydrus 1D, and I matched the Van Genuchten 1980 and the analytical solution, as I mentioned, the Broadbridge and White theta of psi functions, by manipulating values of lambda s and c in terms of the Broadbridge and White function, and also alpha and n from the Van Genuchten, the well-known Van Genuchten 1980 water content versus pressure head relationship. And by doing so, I came up with a perfect fit between the two water content versus pressure head equations. And then I used the same parameter values to calculate water content again at the surface during drainage versus time using Hydrus 1D and the complete, in this case the complete analytical solutions. And as you can see, during early times the two solutions compare quite favorably, but as we get out later and later they tend to separate. And in fact, there's a fairly straightforward explanation for the idea here that the analytical solution is giving us a lower estimate of normalized water content than Hydrus. When you actually compare the two hydraulic conductivity versus water content functions, as I'm doing here, you can see there's a fair bit of difference. So even though the water content pressure head functions are exactly the same, when you compare K of theta, they're quite different. And in fact, the analytical for all hydraulic conductivity values less than saturation, the analytical is greater than the Hydrus, which of course makes perfect sense in terms of comparing the drainage versus time estimates at the soil surface. So just to wrap things up, you can use the two-term, as I've called it, the two-term analytical solution quite effectively, I think, to estimate soil surface hydraulic properties during drainage. Be careful with that C parameter because it's very sensitive to changes in soil hydraulic properties. In particular, when C is ranging between 1 and 2, soil hydraulic properties can change a fair bit. And the effects of different hydraulic functions are significant, but I suspect if I would have gone back and matched up K of thetas between Van Genuchten and Broadbridge and White, probably would have been a little different story. just to acknowledge Peter von Bertoldi's fantastic help in the laboratory and three different funding sources. And I'd just like to finish off by congratulating Art on such a fabulous career. And if anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them.
You mentioned that you had the TDR device right at the soil, or right close to the soil surface.
Yeah.
Did you take into account that the volume of influence of the TDR may include some of the air? Or did you?
I actually used your, I think it was from 1992, when you looked at the sample volume being about, was it 1.4 times the spacing? So I took that into consideration, and I kept the TDR probes just deep enough so that I would not include the air or any water above the